Now, as many of you might have seen, climate campaigners have voiced their disappointment with a major new government document to tackle climate change. Friends of the Earth say the plan has little or no measures and it commits to no immediate action. But speaking on Newstalk Drive yesterday evening, the Minister for Communications, Climate Action and Environment, Dennis Nocton, says there's a lot of work ahead to meet our targets.
There will be unanimous support across Cabinet today that every minister will walk towards delivering on this mitigation plan, right from the Taoiseach and the Minister for Finance. What you're going to see now, though, is both the budget and the forthcoming capital plan, that climate will be very much focused, and the decisions that are made will be informed by the whole climate agenda.
Yeah, that was Dennis Nocton speaking on News Talk Drive yesterday after the publication of that plan. Joining us in studio now is Fianna Fáil spokesperson for the environment, Timmy Dooley. Timmy, you're very welcome to studio.
Thanks very much.
Are you in Dennis Nocton's camp in this? You look, those climate targets, they were unrealistic really when they were set. There's a lot of work to do and it's very hard to kind of put in place real action at this stage.
Yeah, I don't accept the government's analysis, and unfortunately yesterday's flurry of media activity is really about a plan to create a plan. We've known for some time about the impact of climate change. We've known the impact that it has on our weather patterns. We've known that our behaviour has to change. And that's why Ireland signed up to the 2020 targets. But unfortunately, the government has not had an implementation plan that in any way will meet that. We're only going to see about 4% of the 20% reduction in greenhouse gases that are set out by 2020. There's going to be a very significant cost to the country in terms of fines if we don't continue to address that. And it's not about fines. It's just the impact on our environment. Look, if we continue to live our lives the way we do, we're going to see very significant changes in weather patterns that impacts us, on us in this region of the world, in terms of increased flooding and a very significant change in our weather patterns. It has detrimental impacts in other parts of the globe where you see the inability of vegetation to grow, which leads to famine. So we have a responsibility to address this. And unfortunately, the government continues to shirk its responsibility. Talks a lot. The Taoiseach, who I think is, you know, right from the very start of his appointment as Taoiseach, or his election as Taoiseach, set out environment as being the big issue for him. But you look through his track record when he was in the Department of Transport, and I mean, the whole transport sector is a very significant contributor.
I think, about 21% of our greenhouse gases, a little over, come from transport. And that's actually going to increase between 10 and 15% in the next 10
years.
There
are three big areas. Transport, heat, you know, from domestic and commercial buildings, and electricity generation. In fairness, we've been making reasonable progress on renewables in terms of electricity generation. We need to do much more. We need to incentivise the offshore wind generation activity. It needs government support. There's nothing in yesterday's plan that would give me any confidence that we're serious about that. We need to involve communities in the onshore wind, because obviously people are concerned about wind turbines in their community because they don't see any gain from it. They just see large corporations come in, make money and leave. So we need to involve local communities. They need to see some, you know, considerable gain.
But on the other area you mentioned then, the first one, transport, there was a target set out in yesterday's plan that we would electrify the entire motor fleet within 13 years.
By 2030. No, it wasn't the entire fleet by then, but the plan is that all new vehicles sold by 2030 will be electrified.
Yes, sorry, all new vehicles in the motor fleet is how I meant to word that.
Look at what Norway are doing. I mean, Ireland has set itself forward as being a leader in this area. Norway have 150,000 electric vehicles. We have close to 2,000. We've had plans in the past that said we'd have 50,000 by 2020.
So how do we get to the Norwegian standard? What concrete measures did you want to see? Just an example of three or four would have brought us closer to Norway.
The kind of things that you have with electric vehicles, you have to incentivise people. There's concern about range. There's range anxiety. But a lot of people do 12 to 15,000 miles a year, so there's no issue for them. You put the financial incentives in place. You give free access to tolling, so toll-free. Access to our bus lanes. VRT is eliminated. Increase the grant. Deal with the BIK issue, benefit and kind issue. So you make it financially possible for people to do that. Now, the next question will be, of course, there's a cost to it. Where's the money going to come from? Well, if we keep going as we are, by 2020, we could see fines from the European Union of somewhere between 160 and 200 million. If we fail to meet our 2030 targets, that ranges to fines of between 3.7 and 5.6 billion. So the monies have to be found to incentivize. And it's the same then when it comes to...
Would you drive an electric car?
Not at the moment, because of the mileage that I do. Yeah, I mean, when you're doing about 1,000 miles a week, it's not possible. But other members of my family certainly could on the basis of the mileage that they do. And you've got to incentivize. You know, I think everybody believes that they have a responsibility to protect the environment. But until you make it financially viable or doable for them, they really are not incentivized. And that's the area in transport that you can really get people to move. Now, of course, there's investment in, you know, cycling ways, cycling lanes, public transport. That's all fine. But, you know, as a society, it takes way too long to get that modal shift. There are people who still need a car to get to work and live their lives.
OK, so there are some concrete measures that could have been there to try and get us closer to where we want to be in terms of the motor fleet.
And then, of course,
agriculture I want to ask you about, because there was a free pass for agriculture yesterday, a special case made for it in the plan. But agriculture accounts for about a third of our climate emissions. Those figures are going to increase. Our agricultural emissions will go up as there's more demand for food.
Yeah.
Is it good enough that we give a free pass?
Well, agriculture is more complex, and I'll tell you why it's more complex.
Because we're frightened of the farmers.
No, we're not frightened of the farmers. People still need to eat food. Then we need to have food security. And to suggest that somehow the reduction in our national herd will have a significant impact on climate change, in my view, is not looking at the bigger picture, because the food will have to be produced somewhere else, probably less efficiently in another part of the globe. I mean, there isn't a barrier around the environment over Ireland. So if we're going to have to purchase our beef and food produced in some other parts of the globe, you've got to look at intensity.
We could purchase less beef.
We could, more
focus on tillage farming.
That's fine. But I mean, there's a very significant impact in terms of the use of grain as well, and how that feeds into the food chain and the impact that that has on emissions. But, you know, there's no issue about reducing the amount of beef we produce. I don't think people are going to do that. It's going to be purchased from elsewhere. What we need to look to is ways of sequestering the carbon and the methane from the atmosphere, and that can be done through afforestation. And there's some very good programs. I read some report yesterday which seems to indicate that if part of the animal's diet can include seaweed, it can reduce the methane emissions very significantly.
Actually, I was just about to ask you about that. It says that it reduces the methane by 99%. But could you not include that in legislation and make all farmers get a bit of seaweed
I think we'd have to see a little bit more research now before I'll convince the farmers of County Clare or elsewhere that they should be out counting seaweed.
But it
shows you the kind of innovation that can be looked at, rather than sort of suggesting that we should move our beef production to South America.
All right, Fianna Fáil's spokesperson on the environment, Timmy Dooley. Thanks very much, Timmy, for coming into us this morning.